here on Long Island, but we see it throughout the country. I think with Lodestar, what we are able to do by going into the home is we're really able to attack the issues. I don't think a lot of times people realize when they, when we're looking at the news and things like that, that not only is the child in need of help, but it's also the family. And a lot of organizations don't go into the home, like Lodestar is able to go into the home. So that's why it's providing that newer type of dynamic, where not only are we able to help the child by going into the home, but we're actually able to see the family dynamic and even offer, get more services for the family. And that only helps the child as well.
Yeah. And again, that's what, you know, services are certainly needed. We point to the direction, obviously, what happened on February 14th. That was a big issue to our listeners here on our Midday Live program, calling in all the time, and how the system broke down, the services broke down. And I'm referring to, 19-year-old Nicholas Cruz, who had demons in his head, who saw fit to walk into a school. Today, they're doing more demonstration. It's a walkout to focus more in on the problem, not just with the gun issue, but also on mental health issues. Do you think that that was something that could have been identified, James, in your mind? Here you have a 19-year-old who did a lot of things that was somewhat erratic behavior. It was reported. Can a Lodestar organization maybe identify something like that, or maybe move this into a better situation than what eventually occurred?
I think that it's easier said than done, but I think what gives Lodestar a good chance is it's the reason why I'm attracted to doing this in-home work. Is I mentioned before I went on the air that a kid like Nicholas Cruz,
yeah, yep.
He from the little I know about it, I mean, he had a lot of eyes probably looking at him a little bit, and the intensity of what Lodestar gets to bring to families, I've seen it. It makes the real difference, where now you have a lot of eyes looking at you a lot, and it's you have a better chance of not missing things. You got a better chance of the kid not falling through the cracks. So that's why I love this work,
yeah,
because it gives you a fighting chance to really attack the needs and really offer the support that unfortunately some people need in this world.
Because the definition of mental health and mental issues is just, it's almost far-reaching. And, I think we need to begin this dialogue. I'm glad you folks are here. I think it's that important. But whenever we begin a definition of that, maybe we could begin to prevent that tragedy that happened in Florida. So many people have said that, and so many people have said that it fell through the cracks. Once again, our number is 631-451-1039. I have on the line the supervisor of the town of Babylon, Rich Schaefer. Rich, welcome to the show.
Tom, thanks for having me.
Yeah, I got the folks from Lodestar Children's Services. They're based over there in West Babylon, and
terrific people.
Your thoughts on the organization?
Terrific. In fact, I met a couple months back with them, and I think, as they were saying before, one of the important things that they do are making sure that we're not losing some of our young people. And making sure that we are providing them with all the types of direction that they need to access services that can help them become productive members of our community.
You know, Rich, we're trying to bring this into a discussion to prevent the tragedies that we've seen, particularly what happened down in Florida, where this 19-year-old made numerous reach out there, and people didn't recognize it, and he was allowed to continue on without any sort of help. Do you see Lodestar? Do you think organizations like Lodestar, particularly in your town, could prevent things like this?
Oh, absolutely. I think, and again, I think it's what we usually end up seeing when something like that happens is that the bureaucracy, because it's so large and a lot of times impersonal, and that's not to take a swipe at any of the people that work within the bureaucracy, but they're overwhelmed by what they're doing. And by having something like Lodestar Children's Services available, it's another piece of us treating this as we should, which is on a human level, as opposed to a bureaucratic level. And I'm thrilled of what they're doing. They've got a great fundraiser coming up in a couple of weeks that I'm going to be supporting personally because I believe in what they do.
Wow.
And I'm excited of the fact that the, you know, it's a West Babylon graduate, and he's got a lot of his old classmates who are in different aspects of life now and different professions coming back to support him. So that shows just how strong an effort it is and how solid an effort it is. And it's something that people should support because it will help change lives and make a difference and hopefully avoid something like what you just described, which happened.
Well, I've got James Regan here, James in the studio with us right now. So, James,
thanks. Oh, Grant James. Very good. Good to hear you.
Same. Thank you for the support, Mr. Schaefer. I'm wondering what you're most excited about for our fundraiser since we've got so much going on.
I want to see Justin Davies again.
You know, he said that.
I'm a big baseball fan, and I knew Justin in high school when he was in high school playing for the West Babylon Eagles, and knew him when he was playing for the Long Island Ducks, and I haven't seen him in a while. And he looks good in the social media promotions that you're doing. But I'm looking forward to meeting with other like-minded people who want to support a great effort. And want to make a difference in young people's lives here. Government can't do it all. We try and do what we can, but we do need groups like Lodestar, to come together and to help supplement what we've got going on here. And taking each life one by one individually, treating each person based on his or her circumstances and what's going on in their life.
That's great. Terrific.
Yeah.
James?
I think you also remember Billy Koch pretty well. He's an ex-major league pitcher. He's going to be on hand.
Absolutely.
I might be fibbing a little. I guess I can say that I played ball with those guys. I peaked a lot earlier than they did. But, I'm appreciative that they're coming down to support. It's really good stuff.
Absolutely terrific that the supervisor of the Town of Babylon has such support for such just a wonderful organization. You know, Mr. Supervisor, I know you're very busy today, so we're going to let you go. But thank you for taking the time out from your busy schedule to give us a call.
No, thanks for having me.
Okay, Rich Schaefer.
James, I'll see you in a couple weeks.
Great. Thank you.
Rich Schaefer, Town of Babylon Supervisor, just joining us. Thanks, Rich. Now, in the meantime, we'll get right back to our discussion. As far as the individual services that are offered, how do they reach out to Lodestar? Because people do notice things. School officials notice things. Neighbors notice things. Police notice things about individuals within their constituency. And, you know, again, this is almost back to that situation in Florida. There were 39 calls for service at that individual's house. Neighbors said things. As far as getting an identification of a person within your, let's say, purview, your geographic area, how does it happen?
Okay, so I got to preface everything by saying we're used to this. Medicaid is currently undergoing a lot of changes, so the system is evolving as we speak. But one of the best recommendations you can make is basically anyone can make a phone call to Suffolk County SPOA. Anyone can make that phone call to learn about what mental health programs are available. Anyone can fill out the single point of access application to get a kid the services that they need. So sometimes they come to us, but sometimes they might go to a different level of intensity. I mean, some kids require residential care. But that's the starting point. That's the reason it's called single point of access. So that, you know, it's 853-8513 is the number. So, you know, typically, you see those applications are going to be filled out by hospital staff. And that's sad because it's too late.
Right.
But, you know,
well, that's the point. I'm trying to get to a point here is that we need to tighten up because a lot of times these individuals are out there and they do have demons in their heads. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the availability of weapons and firearms and things like that, putting together all of that, then we have we can have a catastrophic problem. When it comes right down to it. And that's, I think, such a valuable service. And again, backed up by the Babylon Supervisor,
It's
kind of nice to hear, you know, when government has a partnership with these type of organizations. 631-451-1039. Let's hear from James over there in Calverton. James, what do you say? You're on the air.
I don't agree with the theory of demons in their head. Maybe that's...
Well, that's my... Those are my words. Those are my words.
Okay, but anyway, what I think the problem is our whole society is, you know, what's on the internet, what's on the TV, Facebook, all these different things. also diet. You know, these children are getting drugs also to curb their, like, behaviors. And the drugs haven't really been tested on children, and they're actually made for adults, but they give them to children. And then there's the hormones in the meat and the foods and the chemicals and the legal drugs. These are all part of it, you know. I mean, if you're going to look at anything, you got to start looking at the lifestyle, because being on the Internet, you know, 20 hours a day and watching all this violence, I mean, you can go anywhere on the Internet and see the most disgusting, perverted things. And it just, in people's minds. And then they see politicians who just get away with crimes. And this is what's affecting them. It's not demons in their mind. It's society, the way it is. When I was in high school, nobody ever thought about doing any of these kind of things that people are doing. We didn't have all the chemicals that we have, all the things. That's why so many children are fat, and so many they're not playing sports anymore in high schools. This is what we got to look at and stop getting, I think, to get them off these medications, to control them, that they are not meant for children, they're meant for adults. I'm going to get off.
All right, thanks, James. Appreciate it. Is environmental factors a big part of what causes, I mean, James gave an eclectic point of view on a lot of different areas, some of which I do agree. I think environmental factors, internet, what the availability of could put a marginal student or a marginal young person, and then maybe put them, you know, further over the edge. Is that a factor?
Sure. Yeah. The anecdotal story that comes to mind: a young man I was working with in residential care several years ago. We took him bowling. We had a nice time bowling. Mm-hmm. And afterwards, his comment was, wow, I never knew you could have fun bowling without getting wasted.
Wow.
That's all he ever knew was, all right, my teenage friends and I are going to go bowling, but we're going to get high, or we're going to get drunk first. So, again, that's the opportunity that these programs have. What James was saying, yeah, it's human connection. It's learning how to, sometimes relearning how to be human and how to connect without some of the vices that are so tempting and so pervasive. So,
and we've got a very bad, still an opiate problem here in Suffolk County. I mean, there's so many agencies working on it. I believe that we're making headway. I'm an optimistic person when it comes to that. Again, being a former police officer and seeing the number of Narcan saves, the number of deaths that we've had here in Suffolk County alone on overdoses, I think there's a connection. Kristen, you think there's a connection with all of that?
Absolutely. I think that the availability of opioids is really troubling on Long Island right now. It is so easy for young people to get drugs just off the street. Very, very troubling. Very troubling also not only for the children, but for the parents. So while we're dealing with children, with Lodestar being in the home, we're also able to see when there are issues with parents who unfortunately are drug abusers.
Well, and that becomes almost like a, you know, a hand-me-down or a self-fulfilling prophecy that if a parent is going to be involved, you know, to me, the concept of mental illness, mental health issues, it's so broad. And I think if we can take that apart in our next segment, I think that would be a great thing. Once again, talking with Lodestar Children's Child Services with Kristen Lambert, James Regan. We're going to continue on with this. Our number here is 631-451-1039. We'll take a short break. We'll be right back.
Radio show is live, except for the announcement you're hearing right now.
Welcome back to Your Island Live with your host, Tom Shalero, on 103.9 LI News Radio.
And once again, welcome back to this segment of our program being brought to you by the CSEA, Civil Service Employees Association. They are New York's leading public service union, folks working together to make New York a better place for all of us. CSEA represents 265,000 workers in New York State, 48,000 who can be found right here on Long Island. They are your bus drivers, groundskeepers, and clerical staff. They plow and pave your streets. They clean your office buildings. They provide child care and care for the mentally and physically disabled. From Buffalo to Brookhaven, CSEA members work hard for everyone. They never quit serving our communities and fighting for working people. We got a great group in here. We just had Babylon Supervisor Rich Schaefer called on, supports this organization. Lodestar Children's Services, reaching out to our young people, dealing with the idea or the concept of mental health and mental illness issues, which is so far-reaching. We try to get a handle on it, but we try to get a definition in that. And in the studio is Kristen Lambert. She's the board president of Lodestar, and James Regan, the founder and executive officer over there, and talking about some of the great things that they are doing. Now, they're having an event coming up, and we have a kind of a celebrity on the line, Justin Davies. Justin is one of the few members of the Long Island Ducks. Is that correct? Long Island Ducks number to be retired, and also in the Blue Jays organization. Justin Davies, welcome to our show.
Hey, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Now, your support of Lodestar. Give us some reasons.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Number one, you know, James is a real good friend of mine. I grew up with him from high school. And once he started telling me about the organization, I tried to get out to it last year, but I currently live out in North Carolina.
Okay.
I wasn't able to, but once he told me about it this year, I says, yeah, absolutely. I want to help be a part of it. I think it's just tremendous, you know, what he's doing. Currently now, I'm a police officer down here in mental health is obviously something that, you know, we deal with. You know, it's a big issue, and there are a lot of programs down here also that try to help with it and attack it on the forefront so we don't have to, you know, deal with it on the back end.
Yeah, it's nice to see this type of involvement. James, for Justin, I mean, question?
Well, first, I got to say how appreciative I am of all of his efforts. I never knew how great he was at graphic design, so he kind of got roped
into
doing some
of
that.
Justin's got the talents. Justin, were you a pitcher or were you out there in the field?
I was an outfielder.
You're an outfielder. Okay, Justin. I can remember. Yes, how many years ago were we with the Long Island Ducks?
Oh, man, I started the inaugural season, so I started in 2000 and then retired in 2005.
Yeah, I think I remember.
After 2005.
Yeah, so you're a hometown hero here on Long Island, Justin.
Growing up, I thought his
hometown.
Yeah.
I thought his best position was shortstop, but he was a little bit too fast, so obviously it worked out in center field.
Well, being a diehard Yankee fan and they're doing so terrible, Justin, you got to come to the Bronx.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
Well, you're going to be going to the fundraiser. Is that what we're talking about here?
Yeah, yeah. We definitely wanted him. We're featuring him as a guest just because he's so beloved, not only in West Babylon, but for all those years with the Ducks. I think he has a pretty strong following throughout Suffolk County.
Yes, no, I know. I know the name. I know the
and,
name.
And people are buying tickets just, I think, in no small part because they know he's going to be there. But some of the stuff he's speaking to is obviously 100% correct. If he's got to go in there as a police officer, a lot of times, it's too late. It's not going to be treatment-oriented. It's going to be safety-oriented. Right. And I think what he was getting at is Lodestar gets to be proactive. We get to see what we can do on the front end to try to promote wellness, try to promote self-management. And your caller earlier, yeah, absolutely. We want to get them out in the community, get them to be more active, get them off the couch and off their screens. And shoot, I know I need that stuff too.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
When you have a severe disability, it's even more important.
Justin, any final word?
No, I just appreciate you having me. You know, look forward to being there on the 3rd and excited to be a part of it.
Yeah, terrific. Justin, thank you so much and thanks for what you've done for us here on Long Island. Appreciate it. Now, let's go right to Kristen again. Kristen Lambert, board president. You know, we were talking a little bit about the violence that we have seen, particularly in Florida, which today is a big day down there. I know the students over there walked out today, again, once again, trying to raise the issue of violence in the schools and so on. And again, centering around, it's always, you know, we can talk about this forever. But there's always that nucleus of the issue, and the issue having to do with mental health and mental illness. It tends to surround itself, because these things wouldn't happen if it wasn't for people that just had some real serious problems in their life. How does it deal with it in terms of things that you've been involved in?
Well, I think here on Long Island, and especially with the children that Lodestar services, we here on Long Island, we have to deal with gang issues. We have to deal, of course, with the opioid issue, the existing mental health issue. And a lot of our children deal with bullying issues, not only being bullied in the schools, but maybe being bullied at home as well. A lot of the services that they receive, in our previous segment, we were talking about Nicholas Cruz and the 39 police visits and the neighbors who all expressed concern and who knew that he was on a radar. What Lodestar is able to do is not our, you know, we're not just looking in at that particular time period and assessing an issue and then leaving and leaving the home and leaving the situation. We're able to go into the home and really develop relationships, not only with the children that we're servicing, but with the families as well. And we're able to see different dynamics, whether or not families are spending quality time, which is so difficult for families nowadays, especially in a time when we have one parent, sometimes two parent, but everyone has to work.
Everyone has to work, yes.
Yeah, it's very, very difficult. With our workers being able to go into the home, there's also a level of trust that is developed that is a lot deeper, I think, than what a lot of programs, and there are some great programs here on Long Island and in the state of New York. Our program just offers an elevated level of intensity by being able to not only, you know, go in the home, help the child, but we're helping the family as well. And by building that trust, we're letting the families know that not only are we here to help your boy, we're here to help you.
You know, I keep thinking as I'm hearing you speak, I keep seeing that helping aspect to it. Had only that happened in some of these tragic situations.
Absolutely.
If it had been just one iota of that, somebody approaching. And again, if we're going to look at the test case down there in Florida, had somebody or something positive happened into that young person's life, they certainly would not have died. I am convinced of it. And I'm convinced that that's our answer to making these incidences, if not eliminating them in this country, but at least making them rare.
Yes.
Not to the point that it's every week in some shape or form. And I think you folks are onto something over there at Lodestar. I'm going to have to say that. It's a matter of getting the word out and getting more active involvement by our schools and our organizations and so on. And I can't say that any more emphatically. 631-451-1039. James, I want you to say, I think what Kristen just said was what I want to hear.
Great. So I also want to give some acknowledgement to the State Office of Mental Health. They put forth a pretty good blueprint on how to deliver these services. And one of the big concepts is person-centered. And I'll give you the quick example that relates to bullying. I'll speak broadly to preserve the client's confidentiality, of course. Had a client sat down in a school meeting with a peer that was bullying him. And principal led the meeting, and I'm sure the principal is competent, well-intentioned. I saw the client later that day. I already broke the agreement. That was a meeting led by adults. They did all the talking. I really wasn't invested in what we agreed upon. And that's where our program comes in, where by design, we're person-centered. We're not going to, if we're doing it right, we're never going to walk away with the idea that we force-fed a solution. The solution is going to come from the family, from the child. It's going to be what's real for them, what's going to work for them, and ideally what's developed by them. So to get away from that mindset of paternalism where we're handing down, hey, this is what you should do. No, hey, what do you think you should do? Because when I leave or when I'm not working with your family in 6 months, it's your show anyway. It's your show now. So you make the call. Let me help you with the tools and resources I have. But I'm not going to tell you what to do because...
But what if some of the support mechanisms aren't there? You know, Kristen talks about family, but in the case of our test case, there was no family. I mean, his mom had died, his father, whatever, and he was living here in foster care. So let's say one of the support mechanisms, many of these young people, these young teenagers and people in that age category, they'll have a school, they may have a social worker, they may have a guidance counselor, but some of it may be missing. What happens in a case like that? How does it... how could an organization like yours make up for that, Krista?
So I'm thinking about the Nicholas Cruz situation with this question.
Yes.
He was 19 years old.
19 years old, that's correct.
So that is in terms of receiving services, that is a very that age group.
Too old?
But it's not too old because you're technically still a child. Right. You're not 21 years old.
But there was a cry for help before that.
Absolutely. And I think that's what was missed. I think that a child like Nicholas Cruz, and we can call him a child even though he was 19 years old because of the fact that he was an orphan and he was living with a family, he needed services, period.
Correct.
Just to deal with the agony of the loss of his parents. Mm. He needed someone to check in on him. He needed particular services that he definitely did not receive. He was living with a family. That family also needed services as well. Yeah. How do you deal with a child who has lost both of his parents? Not even talking about the gun situation, because that's really a mental health case right there. So if that situation was here on Long Island and he was a Lodestar client, I would hope that we would be able to help him and that family that was taking care of him.
I would think absolutely, because nothing was done.
Nothing was done.
In that case, I mean, he was just left out there.
Yes.
They had video of him shooting outside his backyard and target practicing against Anna. They had all sorts of things that would have raised an issue, but there just was no support there. And Kristen, as you aptly put, there was no parental guidance, even one parent.
Right.
Even one parent.
And there are a lot of kids that are left out there, and that's a part of the reason why I was so excited to become board president, because we really need to expand our program, and it's a part of why we're fundraising and why we're looking for corporate sponsorship. We want to help as many kids as we can. There are so many kids, so many families that don't realize that help is here, help is available. And, you know, we need the staff. We need the programs in order to be able to provide skills building and other services that will help families and help children avoid certain violent issues that have occurred.
And I think we're getting to something here. 631-451-1039. James, joining us again over there in Calverton. James, you're on the air.
Okay, I'm really quick and then I'll get off. I went off to school getting bullied. I had a group of kids on the bus that bullied me on the way to school. I was a little kid with red hair and freckles, and I was really small, and I got picked on all the time. I got picked on at lunch, got picked on in the gym, got picked on in the hallways, you know, and it wasn't by like one person. It was by like a whole group of people. It wasn't just, you know, Billy or Joey or whatever. It was people I didn't even know. Mm. I mean, it would trip me in the hallways, and what I wanted to say is I never thought about coming to school with a gun. I just thought about suicide.
But it affects everybody different. Yeah.
It just seemed to me there was no way out. And what I'm bringing up is back then there wasn't any computers, there wasn't any cell phones, there wasn't any of these things. So all that stuff today compounds the issue 1,000,000%, because now everybody in the school knows everything. Everybody in the school is taunting the person. It's terrible. I'm getting off.
Yeah, very good. You know, James, get Kristen.
So, James, thank you again for the call. And, you know, of course, we're so sorry to hear of your particular experiences. However, while we definitely see, you know, social media and the availability of, you know, electronics as an issue, it's not going away. And what we have to do is we have to not only teach children how to use electronics and social media more effectively, we're hoping that in skills building, which is a part of our program, we're hoping that you know, that will definitely help mitigate some of the issues that we have with bullying. Not only do we help, you know, children who are being bullied, but we also try to help the bullies as well. The bullies are a huge problem. why does one child feel or a group of children feel like it's okay to pick on other kids? That's a big problem.
Well, the concept of cruelness has to be somewhat of a mental issue. you know, someone who feels compelled to be cruel towards another human being.
Yes, absolutely.
Instead of helping another human being, which I would think is endemic in most of us. I mean, I think that's an issue in and of itself that we need to explore. And I have to say, you know, as far as a Lodestar organization is concerned, you guys are like on the front lines of something like this with a tremendous responsibility. Not in existence that long, though, right, James?
April 29th will be our second birthday.
Okay. So, all right. So yeah. It takes a while, I guess, to build up and to try to accomplish your goals and meet some of your expectations, you know, as far as that.
And I definitely would be remiss if I didn't point out that, hey, there's plenty of great organizations already doing this work. So I want to, you know, put it on record. Hey, why did I come along and try and also do this, throw my hat in the ring? And I think the system needs more choices. The opportunity that this program presents is awesome. And the tragedy is when you can't hire the staff to do the work. So a new company like Lodestar is giving some of these bigger, more established agencies more choices. And I got to say, my staff is fantastic, and that's what's making Lodestar do great things. So my model is simple. Why I think Lodestar is going to stand out is I know that the most important thing I can do is find good people and keep them happy so that they stick around, to work on not burning them out so that they stick around. Because we can't do anything with these kids without those people that are on the front line at the point of attack doing the good work. And I've been blessed. It's been easier than I ever thought to find good people. And so far, I think I'm keeping them happy, and it's allowing them to do the great work that they're doing.
And also to help our young people. I'm sure you've accomplished that now with the 2-year anniversary coming up. And just to move in that direction is something positive. And I think it can be done. I would think very positively and optimistically about an organization like this, but a very much needed organization like this, given our current prevailing times.
The system needs options, sure. Yeah, exactly. And we're a great new option.
Kristen, tell them what's happening Thursday, May 3rd. Kristen, what's going on?
So Thursday, May 3rd, we are having our second fundraiser. It's at the Noel S. Ruiz Theater, located on 931 Montauk Highway in Oakdale. We have had an overwhelming amount of support, which we are so grateful for. Like we said, Billy Koch will be there. Justin Davies will be there. Supervisor Schaefer will be there. And we'll have some other dignitaries as well. The tickets right now are $79. It is a child-friendly event, and children are allowed in $15. We're going to have a face painter and a magician, so it's going to be just a great night, not only for kids, but for the adults. Because of the fact that we are a family nonprofit, we wanted to open up our fundraisers to include everyone in the family.
And I think people have to recognize the importance of this in light of recent events in this country and some of the things that we're looking at, but how important this really is. And it moves us in certainly in the right direction. James, what do you see for the future?
Continued growth and continued excellence. Kristen has to slow me down a lot because I constantly come to her with a million different ways that I think we need to, a million different directions to go in to take the next step to help more kids. The lowest hanging fruit is we want to get into the other children's waiver programs that serve specifically the foster care, juvenile justice, and developmental disability populations. I have a background in those areas, and kids are kids. We want to help them all, and because we're already doing a great job in one waiver system, we think we can make the transition and help kids in those other systems whose needs are not exactly the same, but they can use the help too. So we want to be another option in those systems.
Kristen Lambert, final word.
Oh, I just wanted to say that I don't slow James down too much. I think that he's brilliant. He has one of the best minds and best hearts of anyone that I know. So we are just really looking to expand our program, not only into Long Island, but hopefully into the greater New York area and even into some other states. We are onto something great here, and we can't wait to expand.
And I think you really are. And I think
thank you so much.
Wish you the best success.
Thank you so much for your support.
Absolutely. And again, I want to also thank Babylon Supervisor Rich Schaefer for calling on. Kristen Lambert, Board President, James Wigan, founder of Lodestar Children's Services. Hear this last hour. Now, when we get back, we're going to open up our phone, 631-451-1039, a host of other issues that we'll be talking about. I'm your host, Tom Schlero. We're going to be right back.